Hello and welcome to the PR podcast series dedicated to understanding the art of public relations for business. Today's episode is entitled Why Content is King, and in it we're going to explore the stories behind business PR and why those stories matter and how authenticity is the key to effective PR content. My name is Dave Harries and joining me today I have two guests. PR specialist Verity Blake is my regular co-presenter. Verity runs Head On PR, who are the originators and sponsors of this podcast series. Head On PR are a Cheltenham-based creative PR agency. My second guest on the podcast today is Fiona Curnow. She is Head of Marketing at Gardner Leader Solicitors. Fiona originally studied law herself, but chose a career in marketing the legal profession instead, and has been doing that since 2001. She joined Gardner Leader in 2014. Thank you both for joining us today. So Fiona, if I could turn to you first, I'd really like to define what we mean by content in this context.
Hi Dave. So to my mind, content is material that we can share with people to make sure that they know really a little bit about what we do. So it's a way of demonstrating our expertise and giving people trust that we're the right people to help them. It can come in many forms, whether that's written, spoken, video, or some other form, but it's a vehicle for sharing our expertise.
And Verity, from your point of view as running a PR agency, how do you see content? How do you define it?
Yeah, I agree with what Fiona says, that it is a vehicle to be able to demonstrate your expertise and also a way to build trust and connect with your audience. So you can demonstrate through content that you understand your market, whether that's stakeholders, customers, potential talent, that you understand the challenges that they're facing. And through that, you're giving them a little bit of your insight to demonstrate that you understand those challenges. And through that, you're connecting with them and engaging with them and ultimately forming a relationship with them. And, you know, there are many forms in which you can do that through content, whether that, as Fiona says, an example of that could be online news sites, through social media networking platforms, through blogs, videos, podcasts like what we're doing today, webinars. So, you know, we are in quite a lucky digital era currently with omnichannels where you can use content in many different forms.
So I'm going to talk about the sort of content in a minute, but before we do that, I wondered, Fiona, whether I could get you to talk to me specifically about the area you work in, which is obviously the legal profession, and the challenges you face with PR and marketing in that setting. Because I think a lot of people might think that law is fairly, well, boring, basically. I mean, I don't mean that disparagingly, but you know what I mean. It's a dry subject. It's not something that your man in the street, your woman in the street is going to get excited about necessarily. So do you have particular challenges, you know, finding good content, or am I misunderstanding this?
I think you're absolutely right in the sense that identifying something that's interesting to your audience can be quite difficult in a legal sense. And actually, changes in media and our use of media over the sort of recent years have really helped us in areas like the legal profession and other professions, because our challenge is to demonstrate our expertise, give people peace of mind that they can trust us to do the sort of necessary legal work. But actually, they don't really want to know about the ins and outs of how you do the legal work. They just need to know that you can do it. So what they really need to know instead is a story about why they should use you, because you've done something relevant in their sector, or you've helped somebody in a very sort of tricky situation that might be relevant to them. And so it's a way, it is quite complicated to make that interesting, but I think changes recently have made it much, much easier for us to demonstrate it in a way that's digestible to our audience and to make channels where we can reach out and connect with people in ways which are relevant to them. So we can see what's happening in their world through media nowadays and consider what would be helpful for them and in what ways they'd like to consume that information. So in that way, we can select the kind of content we put out and also the vehicle we use.
And presumably, law, whether we like it or not, is very relevant to our lives because it obviously governs everything we do. I mean, a good example of that is the way we're dealing with the COVID situation and the various restrictions we all have to work under. So I suppose, actually, when you think about it and you get down into detail, then there are lots of stories there that are relevant to us within the law context.
Yes, there are. And I think what people find most interesting is the sort of observational aspect of those kind of legal changes or challenges and contextualising those in a way that's relevant to them. So you might take something like the legislation around COVID or anything else and think, how does that matter? Why does that matter for a particular sector, be it an employer or be that a particular sector like retail or something? How? Why? What does it mean for them? And how, as an expert in law, can we demonstrate that we know what they're going through and that we feel for them and we can empathise with their situation? And I think really the bit there that sort of media really helps us with is demonstrating something that's good for them. Because I think the danger, if we go back some years in media and law firms, the danger was that we were always trying to demonstrate how fabulous we were and how we could do X, Y, Z. Actually, that's not really the point. The consumer, the client, really wants to know what's in it for them. Why are you good for me and how will you help me directly? And I think really content gives us that chance to demonstrate our expertise really carefully and curate something that helps other people rather than helps ourselves. And I think the different mediums that we've got over the years have really elevated that opportunity. And we can use, for example, social media in a way that's quick and direct and connects with our clients and networks. And then think about experts like Verity, for example, to help us really get into the niche sectors and sort of press that we otherwise wouldn't be able to do. And I think that that's given us an opportunity, I think, to take hold of some of the more relational press and give ourselves the best chance to make good use of experts like Verity.
So Verity, that's a good cue to talk to you now about some of the challenges you face, because you obviously work with a variety of different clients. So I wonder whether the challenge for you sometimes is finding that content for a particular client that you know is going to resonate, because as we say in the title, content is king. You've got to have some content. You can't just kind of make it up. So what are your challenges as a PR professional when you're trying to find content?
Well, I think if we go back to the legal sector, then the big challenge, particularly with the legal sector, is things like case studies. And we know that case studies are really powerful for PR marketing because you're using third-party endorsement to almost like a referral. And that can be a challenge in the legal sector because, of course, a lot of the information is either very sensitive or restricted. So we do have to find other ways around it. But of course, there are a number of different ways which you can be creative. And actually, the legal sector in particular is actually a really good one to PR because it's so topical. So you've got things like this year, particularly furloughing, to divorce rates have been sort of suggested that are on the increase because people are being together in lockdown, to a spike in wills because people are, you know, sadly thinking about their, you know, their futures when faced with crises. So there is a number of different areas in which we can PR across law, and there is so much depth of expertise that you can extract that and turn that into many different forms of content. And there's a lot happening in the news as well, so we can extract the news value together with the expertise and turn it into some really great expert thought leadership content, advice pieces, comment. So as an example, there was the ONS released their divorce data recently. And that was showing trends in how divorce rates were on the rise. We are aware of that because we have contacts within the press office in the ONS. And we took that, we planned with Gartner Leader, and we turned the insight from the family team into some really constructive comment that commented on the trends of ONS and also some tips if people are facing you know, those situations. And that instantly, it did get some really good pickup, like in the Times, and that instantly then elevates and shows Gartner leaders' expertise in the area. So, you know, there are challenges, but it's looking at the alternative ways in which you can take that expertise, and legal actually is a really good one to be able to PR.
For all the reasons we've already mentioned, you know, there are lots of opportunities in the legal profession. But I wonder, I mean, talk to me about, you know, perhaps a less newsworthy industry, like, say you make paint for a living or something like that. It's a challenge for you, Verity. You know, my paint company needs your services. So, you know, how do you find good content for me, you know, if I'm not directly involved in legislation and that sort of thing?
Well, first of all, you'd look at, OK, what's being developed within the business? Is there any news coming out? So what they think is standard stuff, actually we see as potential news. So it could be new product developments, new innovations. But if that isn't happening, if they are literally releasing standard paint that is everyday paint, then we would then turn back into the expertise of the business. You will always, if you dive deep within the team, you will always be able to extract some, you know, you'll have innovators within that team, and it's taking some time out with them for 20 minutes or so and just getting them to download. What are they seeing in the market? Are there trends? What's impacting their market? So it might not necessarily be directly what they're doing, but what are the outside influences that are affecting, that we could be commenting on? Are there challenges facing the sector that they could be having a voice on? And then taking that insight and chopping it up in various different ways, get some posts going out on social media, start a conversation, create a poll on social media, asking people's opinion, you know, do podcasts, as I said earlier, like this, write some blogs. So there is always something in something. I really, truly believe that, because if you've got a team, if you've got a website, then you're doing marketing. If you've got a team, then you've got experts, then you will find the insight.
OK, well, that's good to know. I mean, my paint company is obviously in good hands, so that's excellent. Fiona, I want to ask you about authenticity now. Now, obviously, in the legal profession, you have a particular responsibility, I suppose, to be authentic and to be truthful and all that sort of thing. And maybe we'll talk about whether that's true in all industries in a minute. But how important is authenticity and in marketing and PR and getting and that content that you put out there? Because presumably if something isn't quite authentic, people will spot it, will they?
I think they will actually. I think it's hugely important for any organisation, but for a law firm I think it's particularly important, because our relationship's built on trust that they believe will do the very best for them, will interpret the law, will help guide them through their issue, their difficulty, or their exciting opportunity. But nonetheless, they need to trust that we have clarity over that. We need to demonstrate credibility and give them the peace of mind that we can handle things in a manner that is appropriate. And I think authenticity there really, it's about sharing the characteristics of the firm, because I think people make buying decisions based on a variety of elements, one of which is, can you do the thing I need you to do? And the other is, do I want you to do it? Do I have a connection with you? Do I trust you, or do I like you? And actually, authentic content is a way of gaining that sort of like stage with your audience, or ultimately your buyers, your clients, because you really need them to engage with you on a level which is not just, can you provide this service? Lots and lots of people can provide a very good legal service, and you know, there are many people that they could go to, but why come to us? Well, we would argue, for example, that, you know, our focus on client service is really key. That's one of the things that we focus on. We also would say that our character as a firm is a good fit for an organization that looks after their staff, for example, that promotes well-being, workplace well-being, or looks after their community. And so how can we demonstrate through authentic content that we're like you, or we're likeable, or that you want to work with us? And I think those things are quite key. In fact, Verity said a moment ago that, you know, there's news or PR in any sector or any organisation. And really what I thought there, what struck me was, that if there isn't a piece of news because of this fabulous new paint or something, there is news in the sense that that organisation has a heart, it has a character, and that's the task. Can we get that across and use that to persuade people to buy into the brand? So that's sort of moving a little bit more into kind of marketing, but that sense of why this organisation, why not another? And that's our task, really, I think. And authentic content is really key in persuading people that we're the one for them.
And Verity, is there ever a temptation to make the content more than it really is? I mean, because of the challenges of making it interesting and putting out good, vibrant content that people will engage with and all those sorts of things that are going to get the response rate up, do people get tempted to embellish, to be less than authentic because of that?
I mean, we always stick to a saying that it's got to be fact, not fluff. And I think that comes back to don't be self-promotional or self-centric, but equally, yeah, you mustn't embellish, you mustn't lie, in effect, because you will get caught out. And I think there is that going around. I know cases where, for example, an award, there are now awards which you can buy rather than actually a credible award which you can win. And a lot of companies take those and claim they've won an award. So that, you could say, is embellished. But, you know, if you've got a PR agency, a professional PR agency that is advising you correctly, then they will pull you up on those sort of opportunities and advise where the message needs to stay real, truthful and authentic.
Do you think that the advent of digital and all these channels, and you mentioned earlier that there were so many channels, so many methods and all that sort of thing, does that make it more challenging in a way, because you've got to find more content in order to try and keep feeding the beast, as it were? You know, you've created your YouTube channel, you've created your Twitter account, you've created your LinkedIn profile and all that sort of thing, but you've got to keep feeding it with content. Does that cause more challenges? I mean, Verity first, and then I'm going to ask Fiona about the specifics of the legal profession.
I think it can do if you don't plan it properly. A really good content programme requires a strategy, and that requires thinking at least 3 to 6 months ahead. And this comes back to a point that I made in a previous podcast, was about how companies today need to think like publishers. So publishers think months in advance, some of them. I mean, you will have the day-to-day news, because of course you can't control what's coming in day-to-day, which you can be piggybacking off. But you can have a forward-thinking strategy whereby you're deciding what content you're going to be putting out, what messages are going to be putting out, and that tends to align to what is happening within the business and what developments are occurring. Could be that the business is entering some awards, it could be that they've got some new joiners coming on board, it could be that they've got a data research led campaign going out. So it all has to be built into this content strategy, and then those are the key messages, and then you need to think of the key channels in which you're going to push it out and the key vehicles in which you're going to use that in different forms. So it's very much thinking like a publication house. And that is a real, you know, to some businesses, they might think, my goodness, how do I do that? But that is a real advantage of today's digital world, because you can really build your own captivated, loyal audience that you could never do before. You can do that through social networking sites or YouTube channels. That is potentially a whole prospect of existing or potential clients that are there absorbing your information, building a relationship with, so that when they're ready to buy or they're ready to increase their sales with you, then, you know, they're there with you and they can see you. So yes, it does come with challenges, but just you need to have a strategy, and that requires somebody like Fiona or myself to develop that and to manage it.
So Fiona, there you are on the front line of this content creation for your company. Is it a double-edged sword, having all these channels, being your own publisher, having to come up with this stuff week after week?
If I'm honest, I love it. I think that the movement in digital content over the past 5 years, 10 years, but certainly the last 5 years, has made it brilliant for organisations like ours. And from my perspective, in the sort of the way I'm looking at things, from moving people from a position perhaps of not knowing about us to a position where they use us, moving them through that marketing pipeline, that prospect pipeline, what I'm really trying to do is funnel the attention of my teams internally to focus on the people that are more and more likely to make a buying decision. And the opportunities that the different sort of media channels gives us is a way of communicating. First of all, there's profile raising, general profile raising. We'll put it out there and just that helps us generally in the market. At that point, we don't know whether anybody's sort of warm or interested in our services because they haven't engaged with us. We don't know whether they're looking for us. But really where I find it really exciting is that with this range of content opportunities that we have, I can go to my legal teams and say, look, I want you to tell me what you want to more of, what you want to sell. And then we can have a look at what interesting things we can say around those areas, put some content out through different channels, and almost track, almost watch how people move through that prospect pipeline, getting closer and closer to making a buying decision. And the way we do that is their engagement. How engaged are they with our content? Can we see an increase in social media engagement or, you know, more people coming to us on a particular topic that we've invested a lot of time in? And what's really useful, I think, about this kind of multi-channel opportunity for us is we have multiple channels and we have multiple mediums. So different, in my case, lawyers have various preferences. Some love to write an article, some enjoy podcasts or videos or a quick off-the-cuff comment. Others like to make a reference to something that's current in the news and put their spin or their perspective on it. Some like to invest a lot of time in an in-depth article and others much less. And where we struggled 5 or 10 years ago was we had pretty much one option and we had to persuade everybody to invest a lot of time to write an article, which actually they didn't really know whether it would get bought up, whether it would catch the attention of the people that they really wanted instructions from. Instead, now they can choose the medium and vehicle that's most suited to them and their time commitment, and then they can really see some reaction to it. And also, I think the really great thing from my perspective is that it gives those lawyers an opportunity to take some ownership of that content. And from my perspective, you know, I find that's critical because instead of those lawyers thinking that they're doing something for me and the firm and they're going to invest their time for the firm and I, instead they're thinking, wow, I have the opportunity to be a thought leader in my area. And that's good for me as an individual. It's also good for my team and it's also good for my firm. So on that basis, yes, I'll invest the time. And I think, as I said before, we're talking here about a range of areas. And I think that social media gives us as an organisation a lot of opportunity to direct things ourselves. And that really does mean we can invest the best time, the right time, in experts like Verity and making the very most of those opportunities. So I think really I'm quite excited by where we are in terms of the channels and the mediums that we have now. And I think it's just going to get better as people get more and more engaged.
Well, that's really interesting. And I particularly like the fact that the roots of this content are coming out of the soul of the firm, as it were. Because surely that's the way to have authentic, good content that is indeed king. And I'm sure, Verity, you agree with that as well. But I want to ask you on a slightly different point, Verity, that Fiona alluded to then about engagement. And I'm wondering whether, you know, whatever content you choose to put out there, how you measure that engagement and whether there is a way of measuring it other than having more likes or whatever. You know, can you tell whether it's having an effect on the bottom line of a client?
The main way in which we work with clients to measure PR, and it does come back to this whole argument, is that it's very difficult to measure brand awareness. How do you measure awareness? However, we tend to work with clients and look at the Google Analytics, because you can work out then through Google Analytics how people are reacting to the content, how they're behaving with it, what are the referral links, what are the sources that they're reading, and then that's creating a trigger and influencing them then to go onto the website. What are the articles that are generating the most interest to drive that traffic? And then you can then, through Google Analytics, you can track how people are then behaving on the website, but more so if you've got things like a heat map on the website, so that you can then track how people are then behaving once they're on the website. But in terms of like the PR and how it's influencing and engaging people to make that, trigger them to make that decision to then contact the firm, a good way is through Google Analytics. But also we do ask the client, you know, how are you tracking them? Are you asking people where they've seen the organisation before then contacting them? Of course, that isn't always an exact science, because people don't always remember where they've seen them, or they've seen them over a course of period of time, and they've seen them through on various different sources, various different platforms. That is the beauty of PR and marketing working well together, is that they are seeing you in different places, so you're staying front of mind. But generally, any organisation should ask when they get a lead through, where have they seen them, what places, as at least a starting point.
So Fiona, I mean, are you confident that all this great work you're doing and the engagement you're getting is in the end making a difference to the success of the firm?
Yes, I am. I think, as Verity said there, we do track where people come from. And I think I also agree that it's not an exact science, because people will have seen you in a range of places over a period of time. And, you know, you're asking them about the final decision, what they base that on. But I think the point is, we do measure the success of our, both our sort of PR through Verity, for example, and our own social media driven PR, through engagement and new inquiries, and also the sort of anecdotal evidence that people give us about how often they're seeing us on social media or in the press. And actually, the good success we get by getting into significant publications, you know, organisations like The Times, for example, that can really have a big impact on our website traffic, because of things like the backlinks that come from that article, for example, really give credibility to the website and drive up your SEO. So all these things are kind of connected. Ultimately, I suppose we're looking for more business of the type that we really want, that's most profitable or in most interesting for us. And so we have to be careful with our content that we're focusing on the type of work that we want. So I think it's this big cycle, you know, you have to consider as an organisation strategically, what do we want more of and why? And then consider getting the right people in the organisation engaged to create some of that content. Work with somebody like Verity to help get into the very best places and get the best opportunities there. And at the same time, use the platforms and mediums that are available to us as an organisation to keep the dialogue going with our connections and our audience, and to just maintain a really good visible profile. I think a combination of those things and making sure that content is really relevant and all those things we talked about, authentic and credible, I think those are really, really important things and can give an organisation a good opportunity, really, to get in front of the right people and make sure that they know quite a bit about you before they come to making that buying decision. If you can build trust before the point at which somebody needs to purchase, then you've gone a long way to getting towards that purchase decision being a positive one.
You've been listening to the PR Podcast with me, Dave Harris, and my co-presenter Verity Blake of Head On PR. Thank you again to our special guest Fiona Curnow, Head of Marketing at law firm Gardner Leader. If you've enjoyed the podcast and found Fiona and Verity's insight useful, then please tell your friends, share and subscribe to hear future episodes on the art of public relations for business. For more information about Head On PR, visit their website at www.headonpr.co.uk. We look forward to you joining us for our next episode, but in the meantime, stay safe and thanks for listening.